And talking about the shape of the budget on the Hill, some of the conflicts that are coming up with the fiscal cliff, some of these challenges, and how they tie into malaria funding, global health funding generally. I want to make a point with all of you. We want to support global health funding generally. The challenge is that sometimes there's a temptation to say, okay, we have money for HIV/AIDS, we have money for tuberculosis, we need money for malaria, so we'll take it from HIV/AIDS and give it to malaria. As a church, we've taken the position that we want to preserve all the global health funding for all these important illnesses and not rob from one illness to benefit another illness. So it's a little bit of a technical language, but when you present this on Capitol Hill, certainly you can lift up the malaria, but be sure and say we advocate all global health funding. We want to preserve all of the global health funding at current levels. We'll talk more about that, and this will come out in the panel that we have with us today. And this is the order to present. Marty Shupak is from Church World Service. He works a lot on foreign aid, foreign issues, foreign poverty around the world, these type of things, global issues. Amelia Keegan is from Bread for the World Policy Analyst. Amelia typically does more domestic issues, but she's become known on the Hill as sort of a budget analyst. She understands a lot of these numbers that are so hard for me to keep up with. So I'm very happy to have Amelia here to help sort out some of that part. I hope I'm saying that correctly. And then I'm very proud to introduce Gretchen King. Gretchen King is working with a project called Lutheran Malaria Initiative. She works with the Missouri Synod of the Lutheran Church. She works with the Lutheran, what is the Lutheran World Relief? So Lutheran World Relief is a pan-Lutheran organization. They also support the Lutheran Malaria Initiative. I wanted you to meet her, hear that there are a lot of people advocating for this, even beyond our United Methodist circles, other faith groups. I will say the Lutherans and the United Methodists are the largest faith groups working on malaria, but there are many, many faith groups working on a whole range of poverty issues, HIV/AIDS, other global health issues. So very good work, and I wanted you to see, even beyond the United Methodist, that we have partners there. And it seemed like there was one more thing I wanted to say before I sat down, but maybe I'm not. I'll think of it. I'll turn it over to Marty, and he'll present. Each one will present 10 to 15 minutes, and then we'll have time for questions. Thank you.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you, and thank you, Clayton, for inviting me here to be with you all and to share some things with you. I heard Clayton joking earlier about all the organizations that are in the United Methodist Building, and Church World Service is one of them, so I want to thank you for your hospitality to us. We've been there for many years, and it's a great place to be. My assignment is to talk about foreign assistance generally. Gretchen's going to focus more specifically on malaria and global health. Amelia, as Clayton said, is going to talk about some of the details of this so-called fiscal cliff that we've all been hearing about and some people gnash their teeth about. So she'll can tell you anything you ever wanted to know about that. But I'm going to talk about foreign assistance. And I guess the place to start is to just mention two or three good things that it does. Those of us who followed foreign aid during the Cold War developed some pretty negative attitudes about foreign assistance because of it was used so much for the strategic concerns of the Cold War rather than getting to the people around the world who really needed help. And there's still some problems with where foreign assistance goes. It still is used to support U.S. Strategic interest, but a lot of it also goes to where it's needed, to people who are impoverished and vulnerable and ill. So I, for one, have had a major change in the last 15 or so years in my own view of foreign assistance. Just to give you some examples, again, I won't mention malaria because Gretchen will do that, but water and sanitation. In 2011, almost 4 million people around the world received improved access to safe drinking water because of what the U.S. government is doing. Almost 2 million received improved access to sanitation. In 2011, over 4 million smallholder and women farmers were helped to improve their productivity and to get their products to market and to improve their income for their families. So we could go on and talk about all the great things that it does. It could do more. There could be more money going to foreign assistance. But it's worth struggling to increase. How many of you know, if you know the answer to this, don't shout it out. If you don't know, take a guess. What percentage of the U.S. federal budget goes to foreign assistance? Now, if you know, don't say. If you don't know, shout out what you think it is. Don't mean to make fun, but...
So only with ignorance.
Less than 1%.
Okay, that's right. So you know, I got to tell you about a conversation I had with my father-in-law some years ago. He was speaking very negatively about foreign assistance and of course, making the point that we have lots of needs in this country and why can't we meet those? And so I asked him, well, what percentage do you think of of the U.S. budget goes to this? And he said, oh, 30%? And you know, that's what the polls show, that most Americans think it's over 20%. 20, 25, even 30%. So then I ask him, well, what percentage do you think the U.S. should give to poor people in other countries? He and my mother-in-law conferred a minute, and they said, well, we're supposed to give 10% to the church. Maybe the U.S. should give 10% of its budget to poor people in other countries. Well, then, of course, I told him what it was, less than 1%, and I have to say he didn't believe me. And I told this story once to Congressman McGovern from Massachusetts, and he said, you know, I had the same experience. I have that experience with constituents. I tell them how much foreign aid is, and they argue with me, and they don't believe it, and they think I'm lying. So part of our task is to let people know in our churches across the country what the real amount is. The total budget, foreign aid is part of the State and Foreign Operations Subcommittee. The total amount for in fiscal year 2012 was just short of $55 billion. That includes not only humanitarian assistance and development assistance and global health programs, it also includes foreign military assistance, so-called economic support funds. It includes a diplomatic corps and the costs associated with that, USAID administrative costs. Of that total of about $55 billion, about $23 billion is for the kind of programs that folks from the churches generally support, the humanitarian programs, the development programs, the global health programs, programs like Feed the Future, which is agricultural assistance, which I just mentioned, international disaster relief after tsunamis, refugee assistance, water and sanitation, climate change. It's less than half of the total number, but it's important. One thing to mention is that normally, because it almost never happens, but the Congress is supposed to make a decision about its appropriations in all the different categories, not only state and foreign operations, but all the other, I think there are 12 appropriation categories, domestic and military, defense, and so on, by the end of September each year. Well, they didn't do that this year. They haven't done that in some time. So what they did this time was they passed what they call a continuing resolution, which which on the foreign assistance part, they've finished some of the bills, but they postponed until the end of March of next year to make decisions about foreign assistance. The House Appropriations Committee passed a figure of $49.6 billion, which you can see is less than the 2012, which was 54.9. So they've cut it. Not as much as they did two or three years ago. They actually cut about 30% out of the foreign aid budget for 2011. But that it ended up with the negotiations with the Senate. The final figure ended up being considerably higher. This year, they've not tried to cut it so much, but they're trying to cut it some. The Senate is Appropriations Committee has voted $53.9 billion. So one of the things that we kind of encourage everybody that goes up on the Hill to say is on foreign assistance generally, which the global health is part of, in your negotiations between the House and Senate, we support the Senate number. That's the higher number, and we really want you to go with that. And we hope that they usually split the difference between the two numbers, but we think there's a good chance people that I've talked to, staff people and congressional staff and others, that there is a good chance of actually not getting the whole Senate number, but at least getting better than just splitting the difference. The other thing I'd mention, there's two other things to mention. One is the agriculture bill, also, which is separate. Agriculture is one of those different categories in state and foreign operations. That also has some foreign aid assistance in it, particularly food aid, the Food for Peace program, the McGovern-Dole School Feeding Program, and those are important categories and accounts that we hope don't get cut. With respect to the emergency food aid, you may have heard a number of organizations are trying to get that reformed so that a larger percentage, not all of it, not even most of it, but at least a larger part of it will go to purchase food in the region or the country that's the ultimate beneficiary, rather than shipping it all from the U.S. We understand the reasons for shipping it from the U.S. That helps our farmers here, but but that costs a lot more money. It costs a lot for the shipping, and it's a lot more efficient for us to purchase it in the region where it's going to be used, and it also helps local farmers in that region rather than potentially undermining them. And then, as Amelia's going to talk to you more about, there's something called sequestration, automatic cuts to the entire budget across the board that is due to come in on January 2nd, which would mean about an 8% cut in every category of everything in the budget, including all the different foreign assistance categories. So if you can imagine, food assistance, agriculture, water, malaria, everything being cut by 8%, that's what we're facing, unless Congress can come up with an alternative. And finally, the last two things. A number of the faith offices and faith organizations, including the General Board of Church and Society, have joined together in what we call a faithful budget campaign, which is a campaign to call for the preservation of poverty programs domestically and internationally. We've been working, we had a fly-in day of religious leaders and State Council of Churches executives last Thursday that met with over 30 congressional offices, 10 members of Congress, to say don't cut programs for the poor, either in foreign assistance or domestically. One last story. Debt cancellation, as you know, the Jubilee debt cancellation was one of the great successes of the faith community, getting canceling the debts of poor countries. Shortly after the initial success of that, the director of the Uganda Jubilee cancellation movement came to the States, and she met with a number of us that worked on that. And I mentioned debt because it's part of foreign assistance, too. It still is a category. There still is money that Congress appropriates for debt cancellation. Charlotte was her name, and she said, she met with us, she said, I don't know if y'all know what y'all have done. And this goes for all of us, because the Methodist Church and the General Board had a big part in that Jubilee movement, but it applies to what we're trying to do now in foreign assistance generally. She said, I don't know if you realize what y'all have done in getting this accomplished here. She said, there are children in schools that now have textbooks and teachers that didn't before. There are health clinics that have medicines and doctors that didn't have it before. There are children alive today in Uganda that wouldn't be were it not for what you've done. So when you all go on the Hill today, remember, it's not just statistics, it's real lives. And you have made a difference, and you can make a difference. Thank you.